Welcome to the Sleep Junkies podcast. My name's Jeff Mann. I'm the founder and editor of sleepjunkies.com, and we cover the whole conversation on sleep. And today we're going to talk about jet lag. Now, occasionally we come across products and services in the sleep industry which we haven't seen before and which are using new technology and real credible science behind them. And this is one such case. So jet lag is one of those conditions where everybody has got their own views on it. Everybody has got their own little hacks or tricks. Some people might take a sleeping pill. Some people might take melatonin. Some people might think, I'll just stay up. But none of these simple jet lag tips and hacks take into account the most important element in what causes jet lag in the first place. And that's all about light and light exposure and how light exposure relates to the synchronization of our circadian rhythms. So our guest today is an entrepreneur who's been in the tech industry for a long while. And in the last couple of years, he's teamed up with one of the world's leading sleep scientists who, as well as doing academic work and research, has also been working with elite athletes, astronauts, Formula One drivers, people who travel all around the world. And when they reach their destination, they need to be in peak performance. And so the result of this collaboration is a new app called Time Shifter. So anyway, that's enough for the introduction. If you're liking the Sleep Junkies podcast, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, check us out on social media, or you can head over to the website sleepjunkies.com. Hope you enjoy this one. On with the show. I'm joined here with Mickey Beyer-Clausen, all the way from New York. The reason I mentioned that is today we're talking about jet lag. Let me say hi first. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on your show.
Really, really pleased to have you here, and got some super interesting stuff to talk about. Yeah, let me go back to that. So Mickey's originally from Denmark, and you're based in the States, in New York now. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. I've been here for about 13 years now.
And the reason I mentioned that is we're going to talk about your app, Time Shifter, and about jet lag and about the science of this. So you travel backwards and forwards quite a lot. So you're kind of an ideal candidate to test this out.
Yeah. In fact, not only do I travel a lot back and forth to Denmark, but just in general travel a lot. And as a child, my mom was flying for Scandinavian Airlines for 45 years. So I kind of grew up on a plane. So yeah, have had my share of jet lag. Through the years. Fortunately, that's not the case anymore.
Great, great. Mickey, could you give us just a bit of a background? Now, you're a serial entrepreneur, you're an investor, and I know you've been involved in tons and tons of projects, but just give us a brief for our listeners who may not be aware of your background.
Yeah, sure. Of course, Jeff. So yeah, I have for the past, I guess, 25 years, co-founded a handful of technology-based companies. I just can't help myself. You know, in different industries, from domain name registration company to image syndication company before Time Shifter, and this is where it all began. About 10 years ago, I started a company called Mental Workout with a focus on mental performance and well-being, putting out some of the first apps on the App Store in the mental performance well-being category. So yeah, have tried quite a few things, but have ended up in this space where I thrive. I love the possibility of making a real difference in people's lives. I really truly believe that technology can be a vehicle and an enabler of a positive change and affect people's lives. So that's where I've ended up.
So you've got a background in tech and really pushing successful and useful technologies into the commercial space. Before we talk about the nuts and bolts of your meeting with Dr. Lockley, this idea of jet lag, it's been around ever since jet travel has been around, but it's never been cracked really, has it? I mean, everyone's got their own sort of myths and their own old wives' tales and their own little hacks to cure jet lag.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I think in some ways it's kind of amusing how we all try and have tried for so long to figure out how to mitigate the symptoms of jet lag. Now knowing the science, after having, as we'll talk about in a minute, meeting Dr. Lockley from Harvard Medical School, it's really amusing to see how none of those are going to do anything good and could even be counterproductive. So I think that as a starting point, we all have to realize that no matter why we travel, if it's for vacation, business, or because we have to compete in a sport event abroad, no matter why we travel, jet lag is going to have a negative impact on our trip if we don't do something proactively about it. That's a very important realization. Many of us tend to think about jet lag as feeling off for a couple of days. But in fact, the consequences are much more wide-ranging and much more significant than that. If you're traveling for business, you know, you're not going to be as productive. You might make bad decisions. You might miss opportunities that are being presented to you, but you just don't grasp them. You don't get them. And there's the health aspect too. You know, if you travel as a business traveler often, your circadian clock, we'll get back to the science also in a minute, it's going to be disrupted all the time and it's not good for you. So if you don't do something proactive about that, you're not going to be able to perform well. If you're on vacation, the rule of thumb is that per time zone you travel, it's going to take you about a day to get over it, jet lag. So if you travel six time zones, it's about 6 days to get over it completely, unless you do something that makes it even worse, which happens quite often. And so imagine going on vacation for a week and you're six or seven time zones away. You're going to have jet lag the entire trip at some level, in the beginning more than in the end. You're going to be struggling in some way, shape, or form for the entire duration. And that's not great. We are all stressed. We're busy at work. And then finally, you have time with your family and you'll miss out on certain sightseeing or experiences that you could have had in the beginning of the trip. But instead, you decide to relax or nap or are just not up for it. So then you go all the way out to sports where it could be critical to winning, where it affects, you know, you might get injuries and your training will be inefficient as you travel because your body is not ready for that training. And so this is a significant problem. And even though it's temporary during that period of time, it's significant and should be addressed.
Yeah, I think a lot of the focus gets put on business travel because obviously people have to go to meetings and they have to perform and they have to make, like, you know, they're talking sense to whoever they're meeting. But but you're absolutely right. You know, sports, obviously there's a massive performance issue there. But even going on holiday, and I think most people, if they go on holiday, they complain about jet lag when they come back, but they kind of put up with it while they're on holiday. But as you say, you know, you're going to be fatigued. Your whole body clock's going to be out of whack. They just say that that's one of the trade-offs of going long distance traveling. So it is, as you say, you know, it's a big problem. Can you give us a rundown of some of the myths? You know, some of the things that spring to mind when they travel is, for instance, oh, I'll drink lots of water, or I'll just have a nap as soon as I reach my destination, or I'll get out in the sunshine, or I'll get out of the sunshine.
Yeah, no, they are essentially misconceptions because they don't work. Anything that's generic, any tip you get from a blog post or you read about or a friend tells you this is how you deal with jet lag and it has sort of a generic approach to it, it will just not work. It could even be counterproductive, making jet lag worse. So you have to stay away from those. You know, the ones that I hear a lot is, you know, I set my watch in the plane. When I get on board the plane, I set it to destination time, so that I'm sort of aligned with the destination time. And of course, that's not going to change your circadian clock in the brain in any shape or form. We'll get back to that. I think it's important to dig a little deeper into the science part. But, stay hydrated, water. It's going to make you feel good. So you should be hydrated. You should drink water, but it won't help you with jet lag. Food, exercise, what food to eat, maybe fasting. I've heard that too. There's a thing out there talking about fasting for 16 hours. Well, that's a study conducted on mice 10 years ago, never repeated in humans. And that study in and of itself was controversial. It's just not something to follow. You know, taking Ambien or a sleep drug when you get on the plane to get as much sleep on the plane is something many people do. You know, there's many ideas around how to solve jet lags as people almost. And again, like now that I know more about this area, It's a little amusing when I think back about the things I did myself to address it. So maybe, Jeff, instead of so there's a long list of things that people do.
Melatonin, and people swear by, and all sorts of things.
Yes. Also arriving at your destination, many say just get on the local time zone as quickly as possible. So get out in the sun. If it's sunny, get out in the sun. Eat eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner when the locals eat. I mean, again, it's not really going to help you.
It seems that all of these elements, which some of them have some scientific credibility, you know, to do with light, to do with food, to do with exercise, to do with, you know, melatonin maybe. And there's little bits of truth in all of them. But up until now, it seems there hasn't been a coordinated attempt to put all of these things together. And it's still sort of fumbling in the dark, really, isn't it?
Yes. I like how you said that, actually, because you're right. There is a little bit of truth to all of them. The missing piece is really timing, because the timing, as it relates to jet lag, is everything. If you get the timing wrong of some of the things that we talked about, and I'll go through what really matters, what really has a significant impact on your jet lag and how you really can shift quickly. But the timing is key in shifting you to a new time zone quickly. When you do what matters.
Well, let's talk about how you came to find out about this aspect of timing and phase shifting is the term, and you connected with a sleep scientist, you know, a bit of a rock star in this field, a professor at Harvard, Dr. Stephen Lockley, and you discovered actually there is someone out there who is tackling jet lag in a very scientific way, someone who's not actually just stuck in the lab, but has actually been doing it with sports people in Formula One who travel around the world, but also as well with astronauts.
Yes.
And you've kind of got to know what you're doing when you're giving advice to astronauts. So, and Dr. Lockley is a co-founder of Timeshifter as well, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So could you say how that happened, how you came together with Dr. Lockley and discovered this science, which is the basis of the Timeshifter app?
Yes, that's correct. Jeff, it was like for an entrepreneur like me looking for areas where you can build something meaningful, something that's helpful and something that's novel and innovative. It's not a gimmick, but a real tool. Meeting Dr. Lockley, we were introduced by mutual friends, was a real gift because the science was there. And I'm not talking about, you know, superficial. I'm talking about high quality clinical studies that makes it absolutely clear that this is something that works. Was there. Dr. Lockley knew about the science, is extremely well informed about the different studies around the world at different universities, including at Harvard Medical School. And then, as you said, he had been applying it for many, many years with elite athletes and with astronauts. So meeting him and being able to learn about the science and also learn about how the science could be applied in a practical way, it was absolutely a no-brainer for me to get involved and turn that science and that tool into a real solution in the form of an app that everyone, every traveler could get access to and could help them. So yeah, so underneath the Timeshifter app, it's the latest sleep in sleep and circadian neuroscience, but it's also a tool that in a non-app form had been used for many years. So again, beautiful connection, really. And it's been very exciting to take that science and that tool and turn it into a very user-friendly tool. That's the challenge we've had, is really void of sitting in front of Dr. Stephen Lockley or somebody else educating you, explaining it and laying it out for you, the plans every time you travel. How do we do that in a way where everyone can do it on their own? And that's Timeshifter app.
So I just want to dig a bit deeper into what Dr. Lockley was doing. So he was doing this for 10 years, I believe, or maybe a bit more. And I used to follow Formula One quite a bit, and if anyone's unaware, the drivers, they're crossing every continent. So 1 week they might be in Malaysia. The next week, they might be in Argentina. The next week, they might be in Europe somewhere. So Dr. Lockley was heavily involved with advising some of these teams in how to be at their peak performance, as well as other athletes and astronauts as well.
Yeah, just to elaborate a little bit on some of the people that Lockley has worked with. So I think that if you take astronauts and Formula One drivers as a group, they have the same challenges, which is when they travel, the moment they arrive, they need to perform. And you mentioned Formula One drivers traveling around the world. I mean, they travel more than 200 days a year, and they travel from one part of the world to another part of the world. And if they don't get a good night's sleep, and if they're awake all night because of jet lag, and if they're fatigued when they drive, it's dangerous. It can be fatal, and there are millions of dollars worth of equipment that can be lost. The same with astronauts as they travel around the world to Germany, to Russia, to Japan, to train with their fellow astronauts at other space agencies. If they arrive and are not ready to train, and it's very dangerous and can be very costly. So this group of people represent, I think, the extreme. But you could very easily, put your own situation, in the mix of jet lag and see how it also can have significant consequences, as we talked about earlier. But yeah, this has been applied to this group of people, and it's been very successful for them, and they've had great benefits.
Let's talk about the basic science, the time shifting, the phase shifting side of it.
So contrary to what most people think, as we talked a little bit about before with myths and misconceptions that are out there, the number one aspect of shifting to a new time zone quickly is timed light exposure. So if we take a step back and look at where the problem starts, it's also where we find the solution, and that's in our brains. In our brains, we have, in the hypothalamus part of the brain, there is something that we call the suprachiasmatic nucleus. That is our body clock. That is the master clock of our body, also called the circadian clock. And this clock, the key time cue for this circadian clock, is light and dark. So as this is really based on human evolution, millions of years, when it's day, it's light. When it's night, it's dark. When it's night, you sleep. When it's day, you're awake. And the best thing you can do for your circadian clock in general, by the way, this is not only about jet lag, but in general, is to keep your circadian clock happy by being consistent with your bedtimes and your wake-up time. It will love you if you do that. And you're going to get the best sleep and the best quality of sleep if you do that. If you move to another time zone, you disrupt the clock. And when you disrupt the clock, you might be at a place where it's daytime, but your clock is stuck at your home time zone, which could be in the middle of the night. And so what you really want to do is you want to shift that clock to the new time zone quickly. And the way you can do that, the most impactful way to do that, is to time when you see light and when you avoid light. The problem is you can't just offer a generic advice or tip about this. This is not something you can figure out on your own. What that really does, it takes your sleep pattern, your chronotype, whether you're a night owl or morning person or neither, and then your itinerary. And then based on all that information, it creates a plan that tells you when you should see light and when you should avoid light. And by doing that, the clock will be exposed or not exposed to light, and it'll shift 3 to 4 times as fast as normal. That's the key. That's the most impactful thing you can do to shift quickly. From the retina, from the eye, there in fact is a dedicated pathway directly to your circadian clock in the brain. And if you think about science, if you chat with scientists and if you think about it logically, if your body has a dedicated pathway, and in this case, the sole purpose of it is to direct light or dark cues to your body clock, it matters. And so this is the number one thing you can do. I don't know if you had a question about that, Jeff.
Yeah, I just wanted to reinforce what you were saying. So light entering through the optic nerve, hitting this part of the brain, it's resetting us on a daily basis. And it's not just their sleep patterns, it's our whole physiology. There's clocks in every single cell in the body.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Jeff, that's another point that most people don't realize, and which is interesting, is the clock we have in our brain I just described, it's the master clock. In fact, in our cells and in our organs, in all through our body, there are the other 24-hour clocks. And the one in our brains are sending signals down to them. So it's extremely powerful for how we perform and our health and our well-being that we are aware of this.
And this is the type of research that Dr. Lockley was involved in at Harvard, using light and exposing people to light at different times. I don't know, it's like some kind of magic or voodoo, isn't it? You expose people to light at certain times and you shift their entire clock. It's something that a lot of people may not be aware of how powerful that is.
I mean, Jeff, for us, it's been a very interesting journey. We thought this tool would be something a younger audience would find interesting and intriguing and, you know, appreciate the benefit so much that they would continue to use it. What we realized is many of our users are older generations, people that have traveled for 20, 30 years. They've gone from US to China once a month or whatever, and they have struggled with jet lag their entire life. And they found it to be credible and worth a try. They become fans right away because it literally is, like you're saying, a little bit of voodoo or magic. It's absolutely amazing how much power light has and the timing. And what's profound about this, in fact, I want to bring something in that I think will put this in perspective. Last year, the Nobel Prize in Medicine went to three scientists that were doing research in the circadian area. The circadian clock and circadian rhythms will definitely be something people will know much more about over the years. Just like sleep has now become, you know, an area of interest to people, I will bet that circadian science and the circadian clock is something people will know in 5-10 years from now, will know very well.
Absolutely.
Because of the huge implications it has for our health and our performance. But it really is profound. And what I think is very interesting is, if you think about it for a moment, when you apply the time light and avoiding light for that matter at specific times, you are for the first time in your life proactively shifting your clock in your brain with the intent to achieve a certain goal. You know, think about that. You have control over the clock in your body, in your brain. You can affect it. And just that notion, I think, is incredible and super exciting. And now we're talking about jet lag today, and that's what we should focus on. But there are so many other areas where this could be valuable. And maybe that's something we can talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah, maybe we can get to that. I interrupted your flow talking about the science behind this and this idea of phase shifting.
Yep, absolutely. So light is number one. This is the absolute key to a successful and quick shift to a new time zone, is time light exposure. And just a little footnote around light exposure: if the app is telling you to see bright light and you are in a dark plane or in a dark room, all you really need to do is get on as much light as you can, including increase the brightness of your iPad or the in-flight entertainment system, and that's enough to impact the circadian rhythm and the circadian clock. So if you need to avoid light and you're out in the sun, you put on your favorite dark sunglasses and you're good to go. So there's a way to be compliant with these things, even if the situation doesn't seem to be conducive. It's still possible to deal with it in a very easy way. That was just a little footnote. The second thing that can have a big impact is melatonin. And so because melatonin is not available over the counter in certain countries, in US it is, you can buy it at every pharmacy as a supplement, but it's not available all over the world and not everyone wants to use it for whatever reason. But melatonin is very powerful as well. And melatonin, as you might know, is, and I know you know, Jeff, that melatonin is a natural hormone in your body. And it's something that your body produces at night before you go to bed. And it's really based on where your circadian clock is at that moment and the sleep pattern you have. But when you go to a new time zone, you can use a melatonin as a supplement, where it'll essentially create a dent in your circadian clock at the time we tell you to take it, and by doing that, shift you faster. But there is, again, even some misconceptions around melatonin use that we are addressing in the app, important to get out on this show as well. And that is the type of melatonin, as well as the milligrams you're taking, is critical to whether it's going to help you or not. So many people that go, when they go to a pharmacy looking for melatonin, they are taking the highest milligram they can get. They believe that the more potent it is, the more it's going to help you shift, the faster you're going to shift, which is actually completely untrue, and the opposite is true. So with shifting your clock, the lower dose of milligram you get, the quicker you're going to shift. The higher dose, the more it might help you with sleep, but it's not shifting your clock. So we recommend 0.5 milligram to 3 milligram max,
okay,
of melatonin. And we also recommend fast release versus slow release. So it creates that quick dent in your brain, and then it's done. Instead of, like, you know, if you compare it to a gong, you know, gong, you know, you don't want that gong to go for too long, because then it's not specific to the circadian clock what's going on. So low dose, fast release, that's the type of melatonin you should use. But of course, I need to be very clear that as with anything you put in your body of this nature, even though it's a supplement and you can get it over the counter, I'd always recommend you go and before you use it, you check with your doctor and make sure that it's okay for you to take it. Pregnant women shouldn't take it. Kids shouldn't take it. It's something we explain in the app as well. But always check with your doctor and look at the product you're buying. Look at the label, what it says before you take it.
This isn't just you saying melatonin that works as well. I mean, this is actually integral to Dr. Lockley's research as well as his research into light and phase shift. He's also done a lot of studies into applying melatonin in these contexts as well.
Absolutely, and just to be clear, Lockley is doing an incredible amount of studies and research, but this the light research and the melatonin research is something that's broadly, there are many studies that are supporting what we claim. This is not Dr. Lockley research only. This is whatever research is out there is what we're using to improve, and what we use to create the algorithm is whatever's out there, not only Dr. Lockley's research, but anything out there that could affect us in good or bad ways.
Just to take a little step back, so these different aspects we're talking about here, so we're talking about the light and we talk about the melatonin, we'll go on. These are all things that people can use and get very specific recommendations on within TimeShifter.
Yes, correct. And what we've done is, in fact, combine these different components like light exposure and melatonin. So melatonin is optional, so you don't need to. But if you use it, if you agree to use it, then it combines with the light exposure to really accelerate the adaptation even more. So instead of just using one of them, you're now using the two most powerful ways to shift combined. And so this is really as good as you can do. But the other thing we also do in our app is we include a few components that will help you with your energy level. Because, you know, jet lag, if you're fatigued when you get there, it's not just about jet lag. It might be that you didn't get enough sleep on the plane. And if you don't get enough sleep, you'll be tired. And so we've also included in the app a few other components that can help you get that energy level up. A couple of examples of that is power napping and caffeine advice. So if you are tired because you again didn't maybe get enough sleep on the plane, for example, we'll tell you when is the best time for you to take a 30-minute power nap or take a nap. We're also telling you when you can enjoy caffeine, when you can have a cup of coffee or get caffeine in some other way. But more importantly, we're telling you when to avoid it. So if you get caffeine too close to bedtime, it's going to impact your sleep quality. And I think the caffeine part is quite important because, you know, when I started being interested in the sleep space, I was telling one of the first experts that I met, and a good friend of mine is Dr. Michael Bruce, also known in the U.S. as the sleep doctor. You might have seen him on TV, Dr. Oz show or morning shows or whatever. And I was saying to him, you know, Michael, I can have a cappuccino after dinner and then I go to bed and I fall asleep right away. So why should I care? And then he gave me a gift. He gave me a sleep monitoring device. And he said, you know, when you do that, you know, make sure to check your quality of sleep. So I experimented. I sleep very well, but I experimented with a sleep monitoring device. This is going back 6-7 years ago. So I think it was MyCeo, it was called at the time, I used. But I checked with and without caffeine, and you can just see the quality goes down. You know, you need deep sleep, you need REM sleep. Those are the two important, very important types of sleep that you need for mentally restorative and physically restorative purposes. And, you know, so you don't want to drink caffeine or take caffeine too close to bedtime. And in the app, we're telling you when you should avoid caffeine so that we can maximize that sleep quality that we want you to get.
There's a lot of difference in sensitivity as well, isn't there, to caffeine?
Yes.
And also, if you've got a stopover or whatever, grab a coffee. It just seems like an instinctive thing to do.
Yes, it does.
But if you're trying to do this scientifically and trying to minimize the effects of jet lag and messed up time schedules, you could be having a coffee at the equivalent of 3 a.m. in the morning, or what should be 3 a.m. in the morning, even if it doesn't seem like that to you.
You know, when you give science a shot and you follow it, you'll be surprised how big an impact it can have. It's even fun and empowering in some way. I'll tell you, when I travel now and I time shift as I travel to other time zones, it starts with the app, by the way. It starts with about 3 time zones. If it's 1 or 2 time zones, the app will tell you to just go ahead and do it on your own. It's 3 time zones or more is when you should use the app. But when you travel, you'll see, you know, everyone else doing it wrong. You know, I sit in planes where I'm avoiding light when everybody else are seeing light and they're sleeping when I'm awake.
Do you feel a bit smug?
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes it's funny when I try to get exposed to bright light. I know everybody probably should on the plane. I mean, every plan is individual. So some people might need to sleep when I need to be awake, and they might need to avoid light when I need to see light. So even on the same flight, I think that's a funny point, actually. If you and I, we traveled on the same flight to the other side of the planet, and you're a chronotype, you're a morning person, and I'm a night owl, the app might tell you to shift east, might try to shift your circadian clock east, where it's trying to shift me west, and our plans would be massively different, even though we're on the same plane. So there are thousands of combinations of this stuff. This is really highly, highly, highly personalized. But you know, sitting in the plane to Copenhagen, for example, from New York, I take a flight at 11 o'clock at night from JFK, and I arrive 12:30 the next day in the afternoon. And before time shifter, I'd go out in the airport, you know, hang out. Of course, the airport has bright light. I'd go on the plane at 11 o'clock, and then they have 2.5 hours of meal service. And so I'd see bright light in the plane and eat my food. And then afterwards, I'd go to bed and sleep as long as I could until I arrived. And I would arrive the next day at 12:30 in the afternoon in Copenhagen, which, by the way, is about 6 hours after all the Danes have woken up. You know, I've slept in. So in that way, it's kind of counterintuitive that I would do that, but that's what people do. You go on that flight and you'll see everybody sleep at the end of the trip and have the meal service, you know, in the front of the trip. Anyway, now with time shifting, it tells me when I get out in the airport, it tells me to avoid light. So I put on my sunglasses in the airport, and I know that some people, you know, either they think I'm a rock star or I'm a little bit weird, but I know I'm shifting. And I had last time I was flying that route, this very sweet lady came over and said, my son and I both had sunglasses on. He's 7 years old, and he gets it. It's very cool. And right. She came over and said, you know, sir, did you realize that the sun has set? And I said to her, yes, ma'am, I'm time shifting. And she was like, what do you mean? Like, what's that? And I explained briefly what it meant. And then she was intrigued, and people around were intrigued. And then 5 minutes after, I catch her sitting chatting with another person with sunglasses on. And I thought that was so cool. Of course, we don't know if she should wear them at that time in her situation. But I see people all the time make these mistakes. And so this mission is really fun, and it's very important, because we're really essentially giving people time back that they can use for something fun or productive. You know, time is the most valuable asset in the world, and we are not getting more of it. So why in the world wouldn't we optimize the time we have? Why wouldn't we reclaim that day you arrive on your vacation and you're saying, you know, I'm too tired to go and do this thing. Why go and, so instead we can contemplate, what could we do with an extra day on our vacation, or a day and a half extra? Could we arrive, you know, at a business trip and either get a little bit more personal time out of it, or be even more productive? And more interestingly, I think we didn't really talk about that in the very beginning. Many people, they schedule recovery days after their vacation. Right? They have 2 days or 3 days before they have to go back to work because they need to deal with jet lag. Yeah. What if you could squeeze
Which
one
is
or
not
two
long
more
enough
days
anyway.
Out of that? Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I think that's it's a fun experience. The first time you do it, you put on the sunglasses, you know what you're doing. It's kind of a fun thing. And you're looking at other people like, you know, I'm doing this and they are not, they don't know about it yet. You see a few people. I had a friend that flew from Tokyo to Copenhagen recently, and he met eight people on the flight that were time shifting. And this is what really makes me happy, is that, you know, we're getting the message out there, and hopefully, you know, it will help even more people.
Well, absolutely, Mickey. And there are a lot of skeptics out there, and we do a lot of this sleep technology stuff, and there are a lot of people out there saying it's all novel and it's all gimmicks and it's all gadgets and whatever. And there is a lot of that stuff out there.
Lots of it. Lots and lots and lots of it. It's sad.
But as you said, yeah, you know, it's inevitable. You know, there's a lot of people getting into this space.
Yep.
But there's no doubt that your app is, you know, based on tons and tons of research there. But still, there might be people out there saying, you know, well, that's ridiculous, sitting in the airport in the middle of
Jeff,
the day with your sunglasses
on.
To
all the skeptics out there, I would say, take the trip that you have the most struggle with jet lag on. Like, just find the most difficult trip. If you're going on it, that's when you use time shifter. If you have a way to compare and say, yeah, I've used this trip, this is always difficult for me, that's the trip you try. You know, and the first trip is free, by the way, so we don't charge you anything, ask for credit cards or anything like that. So if, you know, the most difficult trip you have, if you're going on that, use that free trip on that, and you'll see how it works.
I'm sold, Mickey. Next, you don't have to sell it to me. And I'm not promoting this, you know, because I think you've got some business connection. I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. But there's a couple of things I want to just touch on briefly before you go. Mm-hmm. One is the actual experience of using the app, and two, I just want to talk about these other applications and where this technology might go. But for people who are trying to visualize, or, you know, ostensibly this sounds quite complicated, you know, melatonin, time shifting, caffeine, fitting in naps, was my chronotype. But the way you've done it, it's a very simple interface that you've got. And if you just imagine a calendar, like a standard daily calendar, and you'll have one block and it will be light, and then one block, say, you know, take melatonin here, one block it'll be maybe have some caffeine, and then but you've laid it out in a very nice, easy way, isn't it? And the way it starts off, you set it up in advance, because you may need to adapt your schedule in advance. I just wondered if you could just very briefly walk through somebody using it, if somebody says, well, yeah, I'm into it, but it sounds a bit complicated.
Yeah, no problem. Number one, we ask some questions initially. We ask about your sleep pattern. When do you normally go to bed? When do you get up in the morning? Your chronotype. And then all you need to do is add your itinerary as you have travel plans. You know, there's questions about, do you want to pre-adjust? So you could start shifting your clock a couple of days before you leave, but you don't have to. It's a choice you have. And do you want to use melatonin or not? Those are really the questions, essentially. And other than that, it's just showing you a plan. And the plan is, like with anything, of course, the first time you see it, you know, you might have a couple of questions, but it's very, very easy. And every time if there's something you have a question about, just click whatever advice and it'll tell you what it means. And when you've clicked a couple of times, you know how to do it. It's really, really easy. But yeah, like with anything, the first time you see it, it might be a little overwhelming, but it's very easy. It's not very complicated.
But once you put your data in there and your obviously your flight schedule and all that, you'll just get a little push notification and it'll just go bing, right, time to do this, bing. So you don't really have to think about it once
you don't have to open the app. If you put push notifications on, it's an option. We don't use it for marketing or anything. We only use push notifications when there's an active plan. Then we'll tell you 15, 30 minutes in advance. We'll tell you, hey, in 15 minutes, you need to avoid light the next couple of hours. And like I said, so it's very easy. It will notify you. Even if you're in the plane and offline, it'll notify you. All of it is made for offline use. Yeah. So it's very easy. And again, I think that there's four things I want to say about the experience that are important. First of all, again, when it asks you to see bright light, and if you're in a dark space or in a dark plane, crank up as much light as you can, full brightness on your in-flight entertainment system or your iPad, the light at top of you. You can open the shutter if it's light outside. Do everything again to get as much light as possible. It's enough. Of course, the sun is always the best, but it's enough. If you're out in the sun and you need to avoid light, put on your dark sunglasses. That's enough. The third thing is follow it as much as you can. So there might be times where you slept one more hour on the plane, you didn't wake up on time, or you saw light when you should have avoided light for half an hour. That's okay. As long as you don't do it all the time. So try to follow it as much as you can. And if you miss an hour or an hour and a half at one point, stick with it. Just continue doing exactly what the plan says. Don't try to manipulate it. Just do what it says as much as you can. That's really the advice. And then the last thing is, this is not a gimmick. This is a very, very advanced, complicated engine algorithm behind the scenes that are being applied by astronauts, by Formula One drivers, and other elite athletes to achieve peak performance and avoid jet lag. And so, you know, like I said, if you're a skeptic, try it on the worst trip you have. Try it on a trip that you know you're going to struggle with jet lag and see what it does. But trust it. This is certainly not like many other products in this space. And I, when I see them, it makes me sad that claims are made that are not based on science, but are just to make money. This is a product that comes from many, many, many years of research. And for me, that we're lucky enough to meet Dr. Lochte a few years ago and put it into an app, it's really a privilege, because I think that we're going to have a big impact on people's travel experiences. And, you know, the science is what makes me excited. I hope you can hear that, Jeff, in my voice. It's also a genuine wish to make a difference. And here's an area we found that we can make that difference. So it's a fun experience for all of us.
On your website, I was really interested to see that you describe TimeShifter as a platform for circadian shifting, mm-hmm. which it's obvious your passion behind the product here. And then you touched on it earlier that jet lag maybe is just the first step with you guys for using this technology. So I just wondered if you can just give a little taster. I don't want to give away your roadmap for the next 10 years, but just maybe give people a little taster of where, you know, different areas that this technology could touch on apart from solving jet lag.
Of course. So as I, you know, indicated a little bit earlier, the circadian clock has huge implications for not only our performance and well-being, but also our health. And the circadian clock plays a role in our daily lives. It plays a role as it relates to jet lag. It plays a role as it relates to peak performance. So even if you didn't travel, but in a couple of days you needed to perform in sports or go on stage or have an important meeting at a certain time, you could certainly shift your clock with the intent to optimize that event. Shift work, same principles, and there are research being made right now as it relates to, you know, drug delivery and surgery. If your body is ready to take in a certain vaccination or chemotherapy or something, it might have implications for its effectiveness. And I think the fact that there are so many opportunities within circadian science and so many ways where we could potentially shift our clocks to get to a different outcome, I think is an incredibly interesting opportunity. And our vision is to capture some of those opportunities as we move forward. But right now, jet lag is the focus. It's a big problem. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know how important it is to focus, you know, in order to be successful with what you're doing rather than try to embrace everything around you and pursue every opportunity. So we're taking a step at a time, and we're just grateful that we've got a foothold in the travel experience right now, and that we, in fact, are helping people, as I said earlier, shift their circadian clocks for the first time proactively with intent to do something that's good for them. I think that's incredibly profound. I think that, you know, as I just mentioned, but on a day-to-day basis, although that's not something the app will help you with, I think maybe we can give all your listeners a little tip as it relates to day-to-day, in particular the weekend. So you probably heard the term, Jeff, social jet lag.
Yeah.
And so, as I said earlier, the circadian clock in our brains love consistency. So if you went to bed every day at the same time, woke up every day at the same time, it would love you. But the fact is that many have a schedule Monday to Friday. The moment you hit Friday, you stay up later and you sleep in Saturday. You stay up Saturday later, you sleep in Sunday. And then you end up Sunday night having difficulty falling asleep earlier to be ready Monday morning for work. Why does that happen? It happens because Friday and Saturday night, by being out late and sleeping in, you've in effect shifted your circadian clock. And so the tip here is not to say stay home and don't get to bed too late, but rather that the morning after you've stayed up late, try not to sleep in more than 30, maximum 40 minutes more than normal. You're going to feel bad anyway. And the quality of sleep you're getting might not be as good as normal anyway, especially if you've enjoyed wine or alcohol of any kind. And then maybe take a power nap between 1 and 3 that day to get that little extra energy. A 30-minute power nap would be much better and help you get that energy without shifting your clock too much. So, you know, again, this is one example of how the circadian clock is impactful and why we should care.
I can see a point in the future. You'll become like Google, where Google has turned into a verb. So we won't so we won't talk about jet lag. It's like, yeah, I'm time shifting, you know, so maybe that's that could be something for the future to watch out for.
Appreciate that, Jeff.
Just tell our audience where they can hear about TimeShifter and the plan. You say you get a free trip, and then you've got a model where you can do a subscription or a sort of pay as you go thing.
So, I mean, we have the app is available on the App Store for iPhones and on Google Play for Android devices. You can also just go to timeshifter.com and read more about it. There's a science section where you can read more about the science. When you download it, it'll come with a complimentary plan, which means either a one-way or round trip. So you get a full trip to try it out. And then after that, you can either buy a annual subscription for $25 with unlimited trips, or you can buy one trip at a time for $10. So if you travel more than twice a year, it's better to subscribe.
I think that's a bargain, $25, if you're doing lots of crossing lots of time zones.
If you're looking at the cost that you have in any trip, whether it's vacation or business, one of the reasons many business travelers are hoping for a business class or first class trip versus economy is so that they can lie down and sleep and therefore be more alert and awake and have energy when they get there. But again, the underlying component of timing is key. So it's great to have first class. It's great to have business class if you're that lucky. But without the timing, it won't help you. You, in fact, could be worse off than one in economy class that are using TimeShifter.
Thanks so much for your time today, Mickey. Really appreciate it. Really, really interesting. And I'm super interested to see, where TimeShifter is going to go in the next year, in the next couple of years.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me on your show today and trying to address some of the misconceptions out there. I think that's step number one, and I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Sleep Junkies podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode. Don't forget to subscribe. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on the website sleepjunkies.com. See you on the next one. Sleep well.